Welcome to Rafflecast Uncut, where we talk about the elephant in the room.
It's rude to talk about my mom that way. Although accurate. Welcome,
yes,
everyone, to the most Fergalicious podcast on the internet, Rafflecast Uncut, where we discuss almost anything. This is outside the realm of the other podcast. This is where we set up, we get ready for the other podcast, or we're winding down from the other podcast. We do these as kind of as a warm-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's this back and forth is why I keep coming back.
Why is this Fergalicious, though? You said this is the most Fergalicious podcast on the internet.
Because we give you facts like Craig David, the R&B singer, he invented the wagon wheel.
Oh.
The delicious snack.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
This is delicious snack.
Welcome, everyone, to the Nigger News Network. The Nigger Nerd Network. We're playing with different names here. We discuss black culture and nerd culture.
Oh, do we?
Yeah.
Black
nerd culture. Yeah. So we talk about things like the Boondocks or Black Dynamite or...
Mm-hmm.
Other black people in sci-fi and fantasy. Is there any nerdy black stuff outside of Black Panther and Black Dynamite and any other thing named black?
I don't know.
I don't think so. They're a minority in real life and a minority in comics, and I appreciate that. There's never been a brown superhero, and that's why I can't cosplay. So people who do ask me that, that's the main reason.
There's never been a brown superhero.
Well, except for that guy goes, Anuk-shuk, and he grows really big. But he is actually like a Native American brown. Not
so wasn't like
feather, not dot. Yeah, like, yeah, that's enough. Everyone's like, oh, there's an Indian Spider-Man. I'm like, name the Indian Spider-Man. What's his name? Anybody? Exactly.
I don't know.
Fuck that guy. Fuck Indian Spider-Man. And fuck all other white superheroes. What is up, man? Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while.
We're recording these in a weird way. I'm not even going to discuss what's happening here, but we're getting fucking weird about it. We have a web series coming out this summer. Big news. It's going to be, we talked about a little bit on the, no, we didn't talk about it on the podcast.
No, we haven't.
We will. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. We discussed it more on episode 53, but keep tuned for that. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/rafflecast. And just remember, when you're subscribing to it, when you try to think about who are these people, why do I want to listen to what they say? I am willing to have sex with Kate plus eight on screen.
Wait,
no, let me reword that, because plus eight implies I'd have sex with all the kids as well.
And
I know, I'd never fucking Asian. but the actual Kate Gosling, there's something about her like mean, kind of snarky, like sad attitude. I can see that having that many kids really broken her down inside to the point where she's just a fucking ball of stress and sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And I can capitalize on that and use her. And I should
take full advantage of that.
Absolutely. No giving she would be as a lover, moderately, which is better than what I'm getting now.
Oh.
Speaking of sex, I've been a little bit more concerned about my appearance lately.
Yeah.
I've been buying clothes. I've been working out. I've been, you know, I'm getting my hair did at a salon instead of a barbershop now.
Yeah.
Like, I've been kind of working at this whole, you know, looking good thing.
Yeah.
But also, I have not crossed the threshold of laser hair removal. And if anyone has met a brown person, you know how fucking instrumental that must be. But I would argue that it might be better just to trim and have sparse, like, thinner hair throughout your body than actually remove it altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy that I have chest hair and small pieces of back hair. Strangely enough, not a lot of back hair. Little wings.
Yeah.
Little tiny, tiny wings. Have you ever considered getting laser hair removal?
Me personally?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. is it gay? Let's break this down.
Okay. Laser hair removal.
Yes, sir.
As a guy, like... It's more of a statement to, like, if you get laser hair removal, that's quite the statement to make as a guy.
There's no coming back from that.
No, it's gone.
Exactly. And you have to understand that, like, I maybe got 10 years left on this planet. I want my ass to be hairy for all that time. I don't know what's going to be in fashion. Maybe, like, you know, goatees are in for a while. Big beards are in there in the 70s. Maybe in, like, 10 years, they're going to be like, no, it's really sexy? A lot of ass hair. And I'll be like, oh, finally, here's my heyday. And what's pissing me off more importantly than that is that, you know, I have a very bad metabolism. I eat really healthy to kind of maintain a solid weight. Nowadays, it's actually more socially acceptable to be larger. Like, Britney Spears is fat. Christina Aguilera is fat as fuck. Mike and Molly is a big show. Like, big fat people are kind of, like, more, average, or
but I don't think obesity is so much of a socially acceptable thing as it is
now. Look at fucking Bridesmaids. The second lead was a fat bitch.
Well, I'm not saying that like there aren't people who are like that, yeah. And I don't think it was ever an issue before because people just weren't that big before. You couldn't eat enough food because the food was not processed in the same way to get your body to that level.
Oh, come on,
of
King George. We hear stories of these tiring fucking monsters.
But I guarantee you that the tiring monster was 350 pounds, not 650 pounds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we're not cutting walls on the side of the fucking building.
We got to rebuild the castle, guys, because the king can't be rolled in.
Which is fascinating to think about that, like, these people were about as sedentary as you get. They just sat on their fat ass all day. They were literally carried from place to place and ate all the time. And yet they could not get as fat as we can get today.
No.
We figured that shit out. You know what? For every
medical science.
We couldn't cure cancer or diabetes, but we sure as shit can cause the fuck out of
them.
I'll tell you that much.
That's for damn sure.
Aside from people being fat, when I was really fat, I felt like, you know, I was a minority. I was like, I mean, it wasn't really socially acceptable. But now, since there's so many fat people who are famous, I think it's like a lot more accepted. I think Kevin James kind of paved the way for us chubby guys. And
but again, you got to put it in perspective, right? Like, yes. It's not like you were obese.
I was obese.
You were not obese.
Yes, sir.
You were overweight.
No.
You were overweight. You were not obese.
According to the BMI, I'm 5'10 and I was 248 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, according to BMI, I was obese, yes.
Okay. Well, I guess maybe my perception of what I believe an obese person looks like, or what that is
obese ain't that fat, nigga. Like, you get there quick. when we, because obese was meant to, it was a word that we used as the extreme.
Yes,
the farthest thing was obese. Like that even that conjuring that word sends like these signals of like, oh my god, they're so fucking huge. But according to BMI, if we're basing it off this Dutch, you know, BMI was a Dutch mathematician who made it. It wasn't a nutritionist. It wasn't someone who studied health or a doctor. It was a mathematician who did it. And according to that, George Clooney is overweight and Brad Pitt's obese because of the amount that they weigh per their height. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a really shitty way to gauge it. So when we say the word obese, it's an unfair term in some ways because you can be super jacked and be obese technically because it's only based on weight to height ratio. It's not based on anything else. Not even based on body fat, strangely enough.
Yeah.
And that's why it's index and not a ratio. So when you look at that and you look at like our perceptions of obese, there's a lot of people. The average fat person's probably obese. Mm-hmm. What we perceive to be just like a regular fat person is probably obese, but we never call them that. You never think that they go up and like, I'm obese. No, they never fucking admit that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like an alcoholic. They're never going to tell you they're an alcoholic. It's like, oh, I have a drinking problem. Yeah, well, that's why, actually, let's get onto that. That pisses me off even more when they call alcoholism a disease. No diseases, it's caused by viruses or bacteria. Find me the virus that makes me drink too much.
You want to catch that virus?
Yeah, I want to catch that virus, the one that makes me party too hard, you know, all day.
Well, like my personal thoughts on it is just, it's an addiction, not so much a disease.
Yeah,
well,
how dare they call it a disease? They should call it a fucking addiction. Call it what it is. You want people to fucking deal with it.
I don't know enough about like that whole, how they go about, is that like Alcoholics Anonymous thing?
The
like,
thing is that they refer to it as a disease. They have, you know, the coins that say this many years sober, they'll never be able to chuck a drink again. But what's stupid is that they just weren't unable to do moderation. You know, I was unable to do moderation in food and got fat. And then I figured out how to do moderation and now I'm skinny. Now you look at people who drink too much, you know, they didn't know how to do moderation. They're fucking drunk. So when they get moderation, they'll be fine. You can socially drink, but then when they treat it like a disease, like, oh no, if I drink that, I'll get this magical virus that makes me drink too much. No, bitch, you're weak. You're a fucking weak bitch. That's why you're fucking drinking in the first place,
yeah,
motherfucker.
But there are actual things and reasons why people are genetically predisposed certain reactions to alcohol or food or various other things. With food, it could be like a thyroid problem or whatever else. But when it comes to drinking specifically, like, you know, certain people have different tolerance levels. Certain people can handle it better just because of their genetic makeup.
Oh, yeah,
no, I wouldn't go as far as to say it's a disease to be addicted to one of those things.
Exactly, yeah.
It's
not that's a like
disease,
a piss off AA meetings,
you know,
yeah.
But, you know, I think that, like, I almost wonder, like, why they decided to go that route with calling it that in the first place. Was it just,
because,
like,
they feel like you have to tell the person that they have no control over it. They have to be like, I just popped there. They have to kind of they have to take the onus off of them. Mm-hmm. And once they relieve themselves of it, then they can treat the addiction. They're like, oh, no, it's not your fault. You have a disease. And they're like, oh, because like a lot of addiction stems from blaming yourself. Mm-hmm. So if they lie, like these people are clearly retards if they got addicted in the first place. And if they lie to them and say, oh, it's a disease, and they get like, because people don't know what a fucking disease is. People are dumb. They'll be like, oh, okay, it's a disease. I got infected and now I have to treat that infection. And that's the way they treat it. And then, you know, whatever's effective for them. Listen, if you're fucking drinking too much, you want to stop, more power to you. That's a nice person. You know, yeah. That's a person I like. I like someone who wants to be proactive. And in whatever way they got to lie to themselves to do it, fuck it, do it. I'm not hating on that. Yeah. I'm just saying they are fucking lying to themselves.
From a scientific perspective,
yeah,
call it, just, it what it is.
Oh, so, totally. Yeah. And do you think that, you know, is there a way to cure people while having realism? Is there a way that you don't have to fucking lie to yourself and be a bitch about it and you can still cure your addiction? Like, there's got to be a middle ground. Like, what is it? Why do we need to lie to ourselves and say, oh, we're not obese, or we're not, like, you know, drunk or alcoholics, or, you know, we have a problem, we have a disease, you know? There's a Ricky Gervais joke, hilarious. He was like, there's a woman who was like fucking 900 pounds, and she was like, she ate 20 fish and chips a day. And she's like, I don't know what to do. It seems like there's no other choice but to go to the hospital and get a thing. And Ricky Gervais is like, I don't know, maybe 18 fish and chips a day? it feels like everyone wants to blame everything but themselves. Like, when I sucked, I fucking blamed myself. Mm-hmm. I knew it was my fault that I was this way. And I don't know how serious we want to get with this, but like... to kind of put it in perspective, like what was happening to me, I have a really bad autoimmune disorder, and that was really affecting me. I was in the hospital for like a year when I was like 20. I hated my life. I finished university. I was in a job I fucking hated, in a relationship with a girl who treated me like shit and would cheat on me. My grandma who raised me died. My aunt who my grandma were kind of my parents growing up. My grandma passed away. My aunt got cervical cancer. My best friend Dominic, who was friends with since I was a little kid, moves to the opposite end of the fucking country. And like with dudes, we're not really good at picking up the phone. Like me and Dom had the relationship that I'd show up at his place and we'd hang out and have a couple of beers. He'd come to my place. I mean, we'd do that. Yeah. That was just kind of our relationship. We don't really have the relationship where we could sit. We have to be next to each other. So, you know, and then I lost all that. And I was with this, like, you know, this horrible, horrible cunt who was making me feel like shitty about myself. And I was just like this overweight, fucking sad, sick mess. And then one day I woke up and I was like, oh, I suck dick. I blow. This is like, I was so sad about everything. I'm like, oh, my job sucks, and that's why I'm sad. Oh, I'm not a good enough boyfriend. That's why my girlfriend cheats on me. Oh, I'm not, there's something wrong with me that I can't make a new best friend. So when my best friend leaves, I'm gonna be fucking sad.
Yeah.
Like things like that, you know, like when Carl left, it probably was easier on you because we had the support group, right? Like I relied on you for that. I relied on my buddy Jake for that. Like I relied on a lot of people after Dommy left, but I didn't ever take responsibility for it. And once I did, then all my shit got together. I went back to school, got a degree. I fucking traveled the world. I lost all the weight. I met someone literally I thought I was with this girl for 4 years because I thought I couldn't get anybody else. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just going to be my life then. I deserve to suck. And then I woke up, I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I'm not going to let any other motherfucker control my destiny but me. I'm the one that's in fucking charge here. And then I got my shit together, dumped that bitch. And the day I left her, I met someone new. The day. And, you know, I spent 4 years trapped in there because she had me convinced that no girl would ever like me ever again. And so all you motherfuckers out there that are overweight, sitting in their fucking basements, blaming, hating their job, hating their girlfriend, if you have someone that ever treats you like shit, you fucking leave. You get the fuck out of there. Because I know that stupid thing where it's like there's plenty of fish in the sea. We don't really like, you know, it's such a shitty, overused saying, but there really is. There is a ton of pussy out there. And like, no matter how disgusting I was, there's always someone willing to fuck me because I had that drive to be better. And I think people saw that in me, and that's why I kept getting laid.
Well, you took a very realist attitude towards your problems and started like isolating what you could do to sort of solve them. And that's what you did. You went and did it. Mm-hmm. In a lot of cases, I find with people that get stuck in those ruts, they never hit that moment. They never hit that realization. Mm-hmm. It's not that they want to stay how they are, mm-hmm. but either their brain isn't wired that way or whatever it is. And sometimes those people need help.
Is that the thing though? I sucked for a long time, but I pulled myself out of it. I believe that the only counsel you need is inside of you. You're choosing to suck. And I'll admit that I chose to suck for a long fucking time. I was sitting on that dick. I had dicks in my mouth, dicks in my hands, dick up. I was being stuffed. I was airtight, nigga. There was dicks in my ears. There was dicks everywhere. I fucking sucked the shit out of all these dicks that were fucking me everywhere. When the universe tried to fuck me, I fucked it back. Because I'm Achilles, bitch. And I'll take that shit lying down. Yeah, leave. Just fucking leave. If you don't like your fucking life, leave. One way or the other. Kill yourself or fucking get out of the country. Because really, those are only two ways out of it. I had to go to the opposite side of the planet to just find myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, I have the opportunity to do it. Not everyone's going to have the ability to find a pack up and leave. But I dropped every dime I had. I sold all my shit and fucking left. And that's what fixed me. And you'll find, like, niggas out there will find shit that will fix them, too. They just got to figure out what that is.
It's called a quarter-life crisis, sir.
A quarter-life, yeah. Yeah, I hit 25, and you're like, fuck this.
What but am I doing with my life?
Start smoking weed. And if you're smoking weed and you're a loser in your fucking basement, stop smoking weed. Use it like a tool. There's valuable tools that God gave us. I believe in God. I believe that there's someone out there that's looking after us, and that's why world is awesome, because you can, there's these gifts all around us. You know, the traveling through the Rocky Mountains, one of the most beautiful, majestic things you can ever do, being able to ski down this, you can build a construct. Like, humanities are out of our imagination. We figured a way to go down a steep mountain in control, in a way that we enjoy it. What would be a death sentence, anyone try to climb down it, we can go on in these fucking fiberglass creations that came from our brains. Yeah. We figured this shit out, and now we conquer nature. And we can do that from skiing and snowboarding. We can go down the face of a fucking mountain. Fuck you! I'm gonna ride your face, bitch! Fuck you, mountain! We can do that. We have that ability. And when you start seeing the beauty and just the, what, you know, how many people see the beauty of skiing like that? And everyone on the goddamn hill. Mm-hmm. And once you start seeing the beauty in these things, or the beauty in, like, being able to, you know, boxing is another thing. You want to feel good about yourself? Start hitting people in the face. If you're sad about your life, you just start fucking punching people in the face. A lot of shit starts to make sense. Mm-hmm. A lot of shit starts to clear out for you. And that was, I honestly, like, if it wasn't for boxing, I would have never lost the weight. I would never got my shit together. And that's, you know, I love my life now. My life now was amazing. And I wouldn't have had any of that. And if I didn't have weed and I didn't have motivation, and I didn't have kept my own counsel. If I relied on, like, all my friends around me, do you think any of them were telling me to wake up? They're telling me to be happy with who I was, and like, oh, you're not that fat. You're not that, it's not that bad. You know, like, everyone around me was telling me, oh, it's okay. Be comfortable with who you are. And I'm like, no, fuck that. Opposite advice. Never be comfortable with who you are. Always be striving to be better. Always be reaching forward for it. Every minute that you're awake is a gift, and use those minutes wisely to make yourself better. You are an ongoing project that you have to build constantly. And if you don't do that, you're failing yourself and the people around you. You want good pussy? You gotta earn it. What's better, delicious pussy or delicious cheeseburgers? And I'll tell you one thing. Pink tacos is a hell of a lot bigger than a Big Mac. I prefer a pink taco every fucking time. And when I decided that, when I made that decision that, you know what, I want pink tacos instead of deep fried beef, then that's when I started getting my shit in order. And you know, find your motivation. Mine was pussy. What's yours? Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that people just become comfortable, right? People can become comfortable in whatever situation they're in. Even
listen,
if they're shitty.
Surprised. It's never comfortable. It's never comfortable being fat.
Even, I'm not necessarily just saying if you're fat, but if you're addicted to something, or if there's something that even normal people just want to change or better themselves, mm-hmm. they become comfortable and they become fearful of change. And that's what it comes down to. And if you don't get to a place, like for me, when I was sort of hitting rock bottom in regards to my relationships and whatnot, it got me to the point where it was like,
next Rafflecast, we're going in depth about our worst relationships. Yeah. It's been marked. We gotta talk about this shit.
So, but basically what it came down to was sort of what you said. It was like, I've got two choices. Mm. I can either do something about it, mm-hmm. or I can just fucking give up.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, giving up is not an option because that's not who I am. Yeah. And so I fucking did something about it.
Exactly.
But it takes a lot, depending on who you are, to get to that point. Like, there's some people that just, they normally naturally just have this fucking ebb and flow of will where they can just do whatever they want and they're successful. And, you know, they have
that work ethic kind of built in.
They got
them.
A work ethic sort of thing, and they don't have to, you know, it's not to say that they don't have to work hard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there comes a point where as we grow up and get older, you start to have to take responsibility and you have to find that discipline. And I know as fucked up as that sounds, but that's ultimately what it comes down to, is having discipline to better yourself, setting goals, making decisions, deciding what you want to do, because you can float. You could float for fucking years. Like I used
setting
to
tangible float. Scale as tangible goals is one of the best things you can
do. I set tangible goals and I read through my list of goals every single morning of what I want to try to accomplish. Mm. And it's personal goals. It's development goals. It's like, you know, financial goals, all these different things that I want to do. So I know every day what my goals and what I want to focus on.
You're really ruining that nerds are always at home in their basement thing. You're really ruining that stereotype. How dare you? How dare you?
Well, it's just one of those things where, you know, if you want to better yourself, you actively have to work on it. It's not just I set my goals and I guess I'm good now, or I made a budget on my computer. Mm. No, you have to actually follow that. Yeah. You have to do the follow through with it. Mm. And it's really tough. Like, it's good to find those things that motivate you. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Like, if whether it was pussy for you or whatever it is for somebody else, you know, find that thing. Because ultimately, I know a lot of people want to accomplish a lot of things in their lifetime. They want to do this and do that and do this. Mm. Well, you got to just start with one and say, this is my goal. What do I need to do to accomplish that? Mm. And just focus and focus and focus.
You know, me and my buddy Ian, when we went on this backpacking trip, like, we had $1,000 in our pocket and 2 months of travel. Mm-hmm. And that's not a lot to live off of when you're traveling, and especially when we're the places we were going. But we made it work, and we made it work because we had the desire to succeed. We had the desire to kind of keep going and keep
moving. Well, when you don't have an option, that also makes it so...
That's the best thing about traveling. You want to fucking force yourself to get better? Go to a foreign country and start figuring shit out. Just like, I never took a single guidebook. Not once I look on the internet or a guidebook. I just did it by ear. Mm. And I think that, and I had to force myself to put myself in a situation where I had no choice.
Yeah,
I had to
talk to people. You had to deal with those issues.
Yeah, and if you can't do that at home, then go somewhere where it's going to force you to do it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so exceptionally lazy that I'll only do it if it's essential to my survival. So like at that point, I had to, and once I did that, once I pushed myself out there, I was able to take those lessons, bring them back here and be like, oh yeah, I already pushed myself. I can do that again. It doesn't suck. But how many, like, if we were able to do it, why aren't you able to do it? If you're sitting at home listening right now and you're fucking unhappy or you think your job is lame, start over. Start new. It's never too late to start over. It's never too late to start trying. Try one thing new, man. Fucking start a garden. Do something.
Yeah.
Just pick yourself up out of that rut and stop feeling sorry for yourself.
Well, that's the hardest part, is literally just taking that first step forward. Yeah. Especially when, with a lot of hard and difficult decisions that need to be made. It's literally, you just need to do it. And as fucked up as that sounds, and, you know, I've written a couple of posts personally about this, but it's just like, when you're in that situation, it is actually... The last thing you want to hear from people is take that first step, fucking do it, blah, 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 blah. But as sad as it fucking is, that's what it comes down to. You've literally got to get yourself to the point where you just do it.
Yeah.
And don't take no for an answer and just go do it. Like, and there's so many different things that in life in general, where if you're worried or have fear or concerned, just fucking do it. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like, how you, like, you know, a lot of things that have come out of, you know, any creative projects that I've been involved in, there's been a lot of people giving pushback, being like, that's a stupid idea, or don't do that, or so on and so forth. But then I'll go and do it because I'm like, I know, like, I'm drawn towards this. This is what I should do. I'll do it, and then it's fucking successful.
Absolutely.
And it's like, well, I'm glad I didn't listen to all these people that were saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that comes back to complacency. The people around you want you to be in complacency. They don't want you to go out there and try new things. They don't want you to better
yourself. I'll give you a fucking prime example.
Please.
You, sir, almost, it was exactly just over a year ago. Yeah. I think you can probably hear it on the, you can, it's on the one of the podcasts.
Yeah.
This motherfucker, he says to me, oh man, you've like, you know, you've lost weight, you're looking really healthy, you're really happy, I don't think I like you anymore.
Yeah, you're less funny when
you're
happy.
Less funny. I
hate everything to be hilarious. And that's the point where, like, I'm at now too. I'm hating less things. I'm like, I go to school with some black people I actually enjoy.
Hey,
you know, like, fuck. Although I will say this, my maid got deported, and I'm like, I didn't notice at first. I was like, my house was getting messy, and like, dishes were piling up, and laundry was doing. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And then I realized, like, I saw a note, and it was like, my maid got deported, and she needed me to, like, give, like, the Filipino Port Authority proof that she was employed by me. But I didn't see it for like a month, so she's stuck there.
Jesus Christ.
I know, but thank God there's a ton of Filipinos. I found a brand new one. My house is spotless. That's how we're going to wrap up the podcast for this week. I hope, you know, we don't really say a lot on these things. We try to dick around, but I hope we said something to you. Mm-hmm. And on a final thought, if you're if you're embarrassed to take off your shirt in front of, you know, the person you love, if you're a little bit too heavy, if you have a job you don't like, or if you're with somebody who treats you poorly, you are a bitch. You are a piece of shit. And I want you to not be a piece of shit. So wake the fuck up. Till next time, we remain podcasting.